America was born in large part thanks to a great revival, that is, the first Great Awakening. Now, America is in a great need for true revival again. We're going to talk with Michael Anthony, who's a pastor in York, Pennsylvania, and he has founded something called the National Repentance Week. And he wants to let people know about this National Week of Repentance. He's also the founder of God Factor, and he's the pastor of Grace Fellowship, and that's in York, Pennsylvania. And Michael, I've got to ask you a question. Your bio here says you're an award-winning Bible teacher, writer, and international speaker. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, how could you win an award for teaching the Bible? I mean, that's pretty cool, but how does that happen?
Well, Jerry, first of all, it's an honor to be able to be with you. Thanks for the great work that you're doing and your team in sharing the word through the blessing of radio. Thanks so much for what you do.
Sure, thank you.
You know, it's simply this. I try to preach the Bible in such a way that the application is really emphasized. I think we've had so much education of the Bible. I think this is America's problem, that we have forgotten that there's an application portion. And so the award that I got was for expository preaching, which dealt with the application of God's Word. So it's just as simple as that. I'm just trying to exalt the Lord.
Okay, very interesting. All right, what was the name of the agency that gave the award?
That was Multnomah University. Currently, Multnomah University used to be Multnomah Biblical Seminary in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, oh, excellent. Okay, and what is God Factor, something you founded? What is that?
God Factor is just the way that the Lord's wired me is to try to impact the nations globally, and that's my preaching and teaching ministry. The website is godfactor.com, and it's just a means that I'm trying to spread the word by every means possible to everybody possible.
Okay, now you've called, or your team has called, for the National Week of Repentance coming up in a few weeks. Tell us about that.
Yes, the National Week of Repentance, April 3rd through April 10th. April 3rd through April 10th, people can find out about it and participate by going to revivalmatters.com. That's the website, revivalmatters.com, for the National Week of Repentance. And I just felt burdened by the Lord for quite some time. You know, we see the talking heads on television and we listen on radio, and it seems like everybody's recognizing that America is in a big crisis right now. There seems to be a convergence of moral, theological, political, financial problems that have just simultaneously converged. We're in the midst of a perfect storm. And I simply got tired of hearing everybody talk about that. And when I read the Bible, you know, it's one thing to preach the Bible, but in order to preach the Bible effectively, you have to be reading the Bible and wrestling in a good way with God yourself. And that's what I was doing with the Lord, or I should say what the Lord was doing with me and challenging me. And our nation is at a major crossroads, and it has been for some time, and it seems like even within the church, all we seem to do is to recognize that we have problems. Biblically, that is not a solution. Biblically, there is an answer when a nation finds itself at a crossroads, and that is to repent and to turn to the Lord and to seek the Lord. And it doesn't begin out there in the world. It has to begin in the house of God. It has to begin in God's house. So that's what the National Week of Repentance, April 3rd through April 10th, is about all around the nation, and people can go to revivalmatters.com to learn more and to get involved.
Do you think that in some ways there are some who perhaps want revival, but they don't want repentance? It's almost like they want to be blessed by God, but they're not willing to pay the price for that blessing.
Well, I think that's an excellent observation, Jerry. I think it's the same thing. Our children teach us that, where our children often want the blessings of mommy and daddy, and they forget mommy and daddy in the process. It's very easy to seek God for what's in his hand instead of seeking God's hand. And I think we've forgotten that as a nation, the believers in this nation. Again, I'm trying to emphasize that the need for repentance, which is biblical, if you look at 2 Chronicles 13 and 14, maybe we can get there in a moment.
Sure.
The call that God puts out is for his people to do the repenting. And what we don't understand is, yes, we want revival, but we don't understand that before the blessing comes, there has to be a thorough cleaning of house. And, you know, that's Jesus' message when he shows up in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. His first words out of his mouth are, repent and believe the gospel. But the verb tense that's used there is repent and keep repenting, believe and keep believing. So the Jesus' fundamental call to you and me, to every follower of his, is to adopt a new way of living, a new lifestyle where repentance is central. And it seems like we've divorced that from our understanding of Christianity today.
Hmm. All right. A comment on 2 Chronicles 7:13 through 14.
Yeah, 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14, it's the famous passage that everybody wants to quote when it comes to revival. And yet, the amazing thing is that within the church, we don't want to do what it says has to happen before revival comes. And again, this is not to say that God's going to bring revival in this nation. We don't know where we are in the eschatological time clock of things, you know? That's up to God. But repentance is always the right thing to do. When a nation finds itself in a crossroads, or I should say crosshairs, a convergence of problems. 2 Chronicles 7:13-14 says this, when I shut up the heavens, this is God speaking, and who's doing this? God. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. See, all those things, Jerry, would affect the economy of a nation. Mm-hmm. They would get the attention of a nation. And it seems like God has been speaking to us, but we haven't been paying attention. And historically, biblically, when God speaks to his people and his people don't heed, God doesn't shut up. He speaks more loudly. So that's the first portion here. And then verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And what we tend to forget is that this is an if-then statement, that God makes a move where he withdraws his blessing, he takes a step backward, and it's manifest in ways that affect the economy and get the attention of the people. And then God says, if my people, see, the repentance, the change needs to happen in God's house first, not the White House. Very, very easy for us to think today, in this political year, that the answer is getting somebody, a new person elected into the White House or new representatives in the House of Representatives. But biblically, it's staring us right in the eyes, and it's throughout Scripture, even in Joel chapter 2, declare a solemn assembly, consecrate the congregation, call for the elders, get the young people, even the nursing infants. In fact, in Joel chapter 2, he says, even if it's your wedding day, the bridegroom and the bride need to hold off on consummating the marriage. That's pretty serious. And I don't know what else it's going to take in our nation for we pastors, I'm a pastor, and we Christian leaders to recognize that God has been speaking to us, and we have not yet connected the dots. We have not yet responded as a nation, as God's people, the way God says must happen when he shuts up the heavens, sends the locusts, sends a pestilence or a plague. And that's what the National Week of Repentance is about, April 3rd to April 10th.
I mentioned at the opening of this program that America was born in large part thanks to revival, and that's historically true. A lot of people don't realize the settlers of America. I mean, even the ACLU will grant that many of them, the Pilgrims, the Puritans, the Quakers, etc., were very devout Christians. And the ACLU and their type would say, and that was the problem, you know. But then by the time you get to the founding era, all these were men of the Enlightenment and so forth. But that's not accurate. Anyway, what happened, though, the generation before the actual time of independence, and you're from Pennsylvania, and
right.
you know some of these things, you know, just
right.
from some of the areas and so forth. But bottom line is God, through his Holy Spirit, seemed to move up and down the coast. It began in Northampton, Massachusetts, with the preaching of Jonathan Edwards, but then George Whitefield came from England and preached up and down that coast. Paul Johnson, the great historian who wrote this big, thick book called A History of the American People, you can read some of the details about this, he said that George Whitefield was probably the first, well, he was the first known person to go up, you know, into all those different colonies. He was like a rock star by the time he died, but God used him in such great ways to preach
yes.
this repentance and to preach revival. And You know, Samuel Adams was touched while he was a student at Harvard and became born again at Harvard. Right. And he was the lightning rod of the American Revolution. And so many of the other founders, not all of them born again, but some of them were, most of them were. And it was this revival of God's Spirit that helped this country become unified. It's right. really fascinating, and we are in great need of revival again.
We are. It's not important anymore. It's imperative. And, you know, you mentioned George Whitefield and these greats, you know, that God used, and some of them were saved, some of them weren't. You know, we forget that God used Balaam's donkey. I don't think Balaam's donkey was born again. And God spoke through Balaam's donkey to accomplish his agenda. So we know that God's agenda is going to be achieved. We, as Christians, one of the things we need to repent of is using the rapture, using the return of Jesus as an escape clause for responsibility right here and right now. Many of us think, well, we're not going to be here when it gets this bad or that bad. Listen, we know what happens at midnight. What we don't know is what happens at 2 minutes before midnight. Things can be very bad before they get really bad. And the week of repentance that's coming up, I'm really trying to urge your listeners to participate April 3rd to April 10th. Go to revivalmatters.com and participate. See, Whitefield and these other guys who were involved, that was before the days of social media, before the internet, before any of that.
Before
we have
microphones.
The ability now.
This guy preached, Jerry? I said before microphones. I mean,
yeah.
Ben Franklin, who was skeptical, you know, by nature, he was shocked at the amazing, you know, ways in which George Whitefield preached, and he helped publish Whitefield's works, and, you
yeah.
know, who knows how much he may have been touched by him in his heart.
Exactly. And see, now we have the ability. I'm not aware of a simultaneous call for repentance around all 50 states of the United States where you do not have to get in a car, don't have to get into a plane and go anywhere. You can do it right in your church, with your church, because we're calling for solemn assemblies around the country. The information, pastors and church leaders can get that on revivalmatters.com. But people can participate in their home. We've created action guides that people can walk through. And how do I repent? People don't even know where to start. Well, we tried to keep it simple so that we have an action guide for individuals, an action guide for families, an action guide for churches, and even synagogues, houses of worship. And what we're encouraging people to do is to use their social media accounts, use their Facebook page to spread the news, use their Twitter feed to spread the news about the National Week of Repentance, April 3rd to April 10th, and take the It Is Time challenge, where you put out a little blast on your Facebook page, tape a little video saying, "It is time. America needs repentance, and it's going to start with me." And you challenge one or two of your friends, put it on your Facebook page, and spread the word. It's time. We are at a epic of biblically sized proportions crisis, or series of crises in this nation. And we as God's people need to humble ourselves. That's what's key in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the humility aspect. I think if one thing could be said about the church in the United States of America, and I say this reverentially as a pastor of a fairly large church in Pennsylvania, the one thing that seems to be missing in the body of Christ is the humility. And if we're called to be Christ followers, remember Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm humble." And if anything, the church is characterized by a lot of things, but it seems that golden nugget that is to distinguish a disciple as somebody who's really following Jesus, humility, seems to be missing. So when we read James 4, 1 Peter 5, it says very clearly in referencing the book of Proverbs that God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. And that's written to you and to me mm-hmm. as believers. It's not written to the people in the world, even though it's true there as well. Mm. So we really need, Jerry, this is an urgent plea for such a time as this. We need a national week of repentance, and that's why we put out the call for April 3rd to April 10th. People can go to revivalmatters.com, and let's seek God like we've not sought him before. Let's really call out to him simultaneously around this nation for such a time as this.
All right, we've been talking right now with Reverend Michael Anthony, and he is the founder of God Factor and the driving force behind this National Week of Repentance scheduled April 3 through 10 this year. Thank you so much, Michael, for being with us. God bless you.
Jerry, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Sure. For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb.